Today on Supernormalize, we delve into the transformative story that pushes the boundaries between science and spirituality. In this episode, we're diving into the fascinating story of the life of Brent Michael Phillips, an MIT engineer whose career took a dramatic turn towards becoming an elite spiritual teacher and energy healer. He started debugging computers to debugging the subconscious mind and has discovered ways to transform human consciousness using movement feedback holography. Listen to the end because you'll hear quite a lot of information in this one in regards to how Brent worked with himself and with others to actually first of all heal himself and then heal others. It's quite a fascinating story. Make sure that you like and subscribe, and if you're on a podcast app, give me 5 stars. That'd be really nice because it helps others to find great conversations like this too. Now, on with the show. Welcome to Supernormalize, Brent Phillips. Brent, you've had an interesting life in that I would say you'd started off like a sort of a regular sort of person in a scientific sort of materialist paradigm, and then because of life circumstances, you had a dramatic shift towards understanding different modalities and ways of healing. Welcome to
Absolutely.
The show.
Oh, I'm excited to be here. This is awesome. Excited to reach out. You know, and tell, hopefully entertain people a little, share some good bits of knowledge and teach them something too. And so The only bit I'd argue with, I'm not sure I've ever been a regular person. maybe not. But you're exactly right. When I was growing up as a boy and a young man, I never thought I'd do anything like this. Are you kidding me? Mm. I was pretty much your typical nerd. I liked Star Wars and Star Trek and Dungeons and Dragons and stuff like that.
Yeah, me too.
And I fell in love with the early video games. Yeah. And so my passion was I wanted to make video games.
Okay.
And then I went to college at MIT. And this is going to sound funny to the younger listeners, but when I got to MIT, I discovered the internet. And I got there in the 80s, late 80s. And I was like, oh my gosh, this worldwide computer network is going to be incredible. It's going to change the world.
Yeah, this is the
thing. So I actually made that the focus of my studies. When I was in graduate school, that's when the internet and the web really came online. I was very fortunate. MIT was the first home of what was called the World Wide Web Consortium. So I was in at the ground level. I am one of the people that helped to build the internet, though, to be honest, I was a very small cog in a really big wheel. It wasn't like me alone, right? There were hundreds, if not thousands, of us working on it. And when the internet boom hit, I thought, well, shoot. This is my gold rush. Okay. And so instead of finishing my PhD at MIT, I left to start internet companies. And I recruited my lifelong best friend. And long story short, we started a web company, which had a lot of success. The very first website we did was for the launch of the Sony PlayStation, if you can believe that.
Yeah, cool.
And but the web bored me a little bit. There was very little you could do, especially in 1994. And so I took all the technology I'd built at MIT, and I'm like, I want to make a new kind of video game, something that was never before possible using the internet. Today we call them MOGs, or Massively Multiplayer Online Games, but I created the world's very first graphical real-time MOG, years ahead of the rest of the world, called Underlight. And so things were going great for a while, and I figured I'll work really hard for a while, sell my companies, make millions of dollars, and by the time I'm 30, I'll be living on a tropical island, hot tubbing with supermodels. So that was
dream,
my plan.
The dream.
Yep. But there's an old joke that goes something like this. What's the best way to make God laugh? Just tell him your plans. Exactly. And so, you know, to make a long story very short, I had a massive health crisis, you know, horrible chronic pain, and spent 3 years chasing doctors and physical therapy. And excuse me, after 3 years, I finally got in to see the head doctor at the Curling Job Clinic, which is where the professional athletes, the Olympians, they go for the best treatment in the world. And I was so excited. I'm like, you know, I could barely work. I had to move in with my parents. I could barely drive more than a few miles at a time. It was really a nightmare. And I finally got in to see him, and I'm like, wow, this guy will know what to do, right? He'll be able to fix me, cure me, get me back to my life. And I remember, you know, I walked in, and he's at his desk, and my medical files are kind of all over it. And he just kind of rubbed his chin and said, well, I'm sorry, son. There's nothing I or any doctor can do here. You're always going to be in pain and you'll never be able to work again.
What?
And I was dumbstruck.
That's not a good answer.
I couldn't even speak. It's not what I expected, right? I expected a plan of treatment, maybe surgery, something, right? I was just couldn't believe it. And the last thing he said is, he shoot me out of his office. He's like, son, you got somewhere you can go, someone that can take care of you until you die?
No, really?
And I was 27 years old.
Wow, that's like a curse.
Yep, and he recommended me for lifetime disability, which is very rare at that age. Usually you're completely blind or paralyzed or missing limbs to get at that age, so I was just a wreck. But I went to talk to my lifelong best friend and business partner, and I figured he'd be all, hey, Brent, hang in there, we'll figure it out. And he was just like, well, if you can't work like you used to, you have no place here.
No.
So, long story short, I got fired from my positions at the companies I had founded and built up with my work, my blood, sweat, and tears. And he had forged documents and played legal games. And so, long story short, I ended up getting almost nothing. There were a lot of lawsuits and everything, but it didn't go very well for me. And I learned later why he had done it. He had been secretly dating the woman I was crazy in love with.
So they were in cahoots.
Yep, so it was all over a woman, which was so crazy.
No.
And the thing that still kind of ticks me off to this day, I've gotten over most of it, is that he had inherited over $10 million the previous year. He didn't need any of the money.
Absolute psychotic greed.
Yeah, really? Greed, selfishness. And so, and I found myself living with horrible chronic pain, living in my parents' extra room. I had no income. I was told I could never work again. I was depressed. I was angry. I was day drinking. I was using drugs. I was told I had no chance of recovery. And oh yeah, I also lost my lifelong best friend and the woman I was crazy in love with.
And you were 27?
I was 27 at the time.
Sounds like a Saturn return, actually, if you look at astrology, but yeah.
Yeah, I think it was. I looked at that recently working with an astrologer, and I believe that was my Saturn return.
Yeah, it does really kick you around, I can tell you.
Yeah, so that was, you know, Dark Night of the Soul number one.
Totally.
And so again, long story short, I get into positive thinking.
Mm.
You know, we called it now it's called the Law of Attraction, but same stuff, yeah. Right? Jump on the stage, shout out, you're going to be a millionaire, vision boards, masterminds. Yes. I was, you know, gung-ho, positive-thinking guy for about 6 months. Nothing changed. I gave up on that. Then I got into alternative medicine. And at first, I had a lot of hope. As people are like, hey, Brent, doctors, some of them are bozos. Try acupuncture. Try herbal cleanses. So long story short, 5 years living with my parents, using my disability benefits and running up credit card debt to do all the alternative medicine I could. And it was so crazy, nothing helped me. I had like 300 sessions of acupuncture. I saw homeopaths, osteopaths. I did cleanses. I took herbs. I did special diets. I had magnets. I mean, you name it. And nothing made any difference. I just kept getting worse and worse and worse.
What sort of symptoms were you experiencing at that time?
The biggest thing was repetitive stress injuries.
Right.
That my neck, my shoulders, my wrist were just really tight and in pain all the time. That I remember there's one day I picked up the phone. This is back when we had to dial our phones, right?
Yeah.
And it was a, you know, touch tone. And I went and I just pushed one button on the phone. It felt like a lightning bolt of pain shooting up my arm.
Yeah, right.
And I screamed and dropped the phone.
Yeah.
And so and I just had no endurance for anything. That even if I drove, about every 10 minutes, I'd have to pull over and rest. Because I would get so fatigued so quickly from even simple things.
Overwhelmed, yeah.
Yeah, my body was just shot. And I learned many years later, I had chronic Lyme disease. I was suffering from chemical poisoning. I had an undiagnosed neurological condition. There were a lot of reasons for it, but at the time, I didn't understand. All I knew was nothing made any difference. I had gone to this great acupuncturist that had worked with the Lakers and a lot of famous athletes. He couldn't help me. I mean, on and on and on. And eventually, I agreed to have an experimental surgery. And long story short, they botched the surgery, and I woke up, and my right arm was paralyzed. So it was really bad before that, but now I couldn't use my arm. And let me say, it really opened my heart to the difficulty disabled people live with. You have no idea how many things you do day to day that we take for granted. Things like going to the bathroom, brushing your teeth, putting on a shirt. And so that was really kind of rock bottom. And I spent 6 months in different therapies. I had another surgery, a manipulation under anesthesia. Nothing could get my arm to move. And that's when I heard about this woman. Her name was Terry O'Connell. And she was an old friend of my Aunt Lauren. Terry had been had a big career in finance, and she got infected with black mold, and it almost killed her. And she found this process of energy healing that saved her life, and she was so impressed with it, she quit her job in finance to be a professional healer. And I remember thinking, wow, this lady's really gone up the deep end of the new age pool, right? Walk away from this great job, big salary, you know, she was doing great in her career. But my aunt was like, Brent, go see Terry. And I'm like, yeah, yeah, it won't do anything. I've done Reiki healing and pranic healing and all this stuff, and nothing matters. And for several months, once a month, my aunt would call me, hey, Brent, did you see Terry? No, blah, blah, blah. And eventually she was like, okay, Brent, go see Terry. Not only will I pay for the session, I'll take you out to dinner at anywhere you want to go in the city. And I was like, really? Even Drago? And she's like, okay, yes, even Drago. I'm like, all right, I'm in. So I made an appointment to see Terry. And funny side story, I was her first professional client ever. Really? Pretty funny, huh? And so she talked to me about the process of energy healing and the nature of the subconscious, introduced me to muscle testing. And it was very interesting, asked me a lot of questions about my childhood and what I'd been through with my best friend and the companies. And, you know, it was interesting, but the whole time I'm thinking, lady, I'm not here to talk about my feelings, right? I'm here because I'm in pain and I can't move my arm and I want to get back to my life. But at the end of her hour, she's like, okay, Brent, you know, we're gonna take care of your arm now. I was like, ha ha, you and what army, right? So I'm sitting there looking out the window. She kind of closed her eyes and went into a trance. And it was maybe a minute later, there was this really loud pop and crack inside my elbow, like a little firecracker went off. And I was like, whoa. And I remember Terry opened her eyes. She's like, okay, let's try your arm. And I did. And I was like, wow. I didn't actually say wow, but in case there's young people listening, what I said was a little more R-rated, but I was like, oh my gosh, wow, I can't believe my arm just healed. And it really was a miracle that my arm, paralyzed by the surgery, I could move it again. And that was the moment that this very skeptical, rational engineer and scientist decided to pursue healing as my life's path. And but before we go any further, I always like to be very honest with people. I don't want anyone to get the wrong idea. So what did not happen that day, all my problems were not solved. It wasn't that easy, right? The chronic pain I'd been in, my depression, social anxiety, the chemical poisoning, the Lyme disease, all the back pain I'd had, none of that instantly healed. But my arm and the surgery did, and never had a problem with it again. And so, you know, long story short, I figured, I was valedictorian of my high school, National Merit Scholar, perfect 5.0 GPA at MIT for 6.5 years in the most competitive major. Learning healing will be easy. Yeah. And I thought it would, just give me 6 months, I'll master this stuff. And it actually took 10 years. But little by little, starting with Terry and a lot of other great healers, teachers, gurus, shamans, I started studying with the best people I could find. And my angle was this. I was not born with some incredible talent for healing or intuition like some people are. But I was given a genius level IQ and a world-class education in engineering. So what I did is I reverse engineered the masters. I worked with them and paid very close attention, took a lot of notes. And little by little, I figured out what they were doing. And that was how I came to my path here. That, you know, I never could have figured this out on my own, but I was able to work with people that had mastered it. Though honestly, most of the great healers and intuitives out there, they can do amazing things, but they don't really know what they're doing. It's some kind of gift or talent they have, right? So my thing was to make it, to tear it down and do what they taught me at MIT. Take it apart, figure out how it works, and then put it together and make it better. And that's what I've done. You know, I've taken all these incredible modalities and teachings and I've kind of boiled them down to their essence and put it back together to make it stronger, faster, a more advanced technology. And that's why I see this as technology. It's what I call consciousness technology. That in the same way that if you talk to a caveman, cavemen weren't stupid. They knew what electricity was, right? They saw lightning bolts during a storm. They felt a static shock on a cold winter day. But they had no idea how it worked. And so we all know we have consciousness, don't we? There it is. You have thoughts. You see things. You have experiences. So we know that there's consciousness. But most people have no idea how it works. And so with electricity, it took us however long, 250,000 years, we figured it out. In the 19th century, Tesla, Newton, etc., we figured out how electricity works. And we put it to work. We light our homes. We run our computers on it. My goal is to do the same thing with consciousness. To figure out how it works and then show people how to use it to achieve practical goals. And that's why I think of this as consciousness technology. How do we apply it and use it to heal your body? To create a better relationship? To make more money? Have a bigger career? To improve your mood? To be happier? To move past trauma? And that's what I'm here to do, is to go, hey, there's nothing wrong with going to a healer covered in robes and crystals who ohms and gives you a big hug. A lot of my good friends fit that description. But I'm not that. I'm here as an engineer. I'm a problem solver. You tell me what the problem is, we'll figure out what's causing it and solve the problem at its source.
Nice.
But it does take a certain commitment, because to really get to the core of your problem, you have to be willing to look into the dark side of yourself, to explore what Carl Jung called the shadow, and most importantly, to be wrong about what you think you know. And that's a huge thing, that all of us humans were so blinded by our own egos that we insist on being right about everything all the time. And we wonder why our lives are kind of a mess. Why can't I make money? Why can't I be healthy? Why can't I be in a loving relationship? Why can't I just be happy? And there's an answer to that. The good news is, it's almost always in the software. What do I mean by that? Ask any computer repair tech, anyone that spent a lot of time around computers, they'll say, yeah, 99% of the problems with your computer, your phone, etc., are the software. Hardware failures happen, but they're rare. And I see a human being as just like a computer. Your body is the hardware. Your subconscious mind is the software. It's what runs everything. And one of the crazy things was about all my injuries, except for my knee where I had a lot of sports injuries and surgeries, all my hardware is intact. There's nothing wrong with my muscles, my bones, the tendons, or all that. My problem was almost entirely in the software. In other words, the brain, the nervous system. And that's my specialty, is essentially debugging your subconscious. That if we look at something as simple as, say, a cat allergy, it's just a glitch in the code. That's one of the easiest things to heal. For most people, 10 minutes, you're set for life. Why? It's just a little bug. But if you don't know how your subconscious works and you don't know how to debug it, you're stuck. Imagine you download the latest version of Microsoft Word and it keeps crashing. What are you going to do? You're kind of screwed. Unless you work for Microsoft, there's nothing you can do about it. But the good news about being a human is you can learn how to work your own subconscious. You can learn how to rewire yourself from the inside out. And again, 99% of our problems with our physical health, our emotional health, addiction, career, money, self-esteem, relationships, all these things, it's almost all in the software. So you learn how to reconfigure yourself from the inside out. You can see amazing things happen. And it's, you know, I want to be honest that after that miracle with Terry, again, it wasn't like all my problems were solved. I had more hardships show up, more issues happen in life, but it really opened my eyes that there's a lot more to the world than what we see. And that there's a term in the academic community called intellectual humility. What it means is, once you know enough, you then realize how little you know. And that's something I want to emphasize. That back in the 90s, the doctors had told me I was an impossible case. They didn't even want to see me. Why? No one wants to mess up their record with an impossible case. And I believed it for a while. And I was depressed, right? Like I said, I was even suicidal. I was day drinking, using drugs, engaging in risky behavior, because I didn't care if I lived or died. I really thought my life was over. But what I didn't see was there was so much more I could do. I just wasn't aware of it. And many people, especially when you spiral into mental illness and chronic pain, you think you know it all and you think your situation is hopeless. And that justifies the more extreme measures. But I just want to say, hey, what if you're, you know? It reminds me of when I was at MIT. It's funny, people ask me, hey, Brent, what was the most important thing you learned at MIT? My answer would be Taekwondo, not about computers, right? And I remember because the reason I stayed on at MIT in grad school was kind of a silly reason. I wanted to get my black belt. And I remember after I got my black belt, I fell into a bit of a funk. I'd always been super gung-ho, loved to train, you know, first one there, last one to leave. And I finally, after almost 6 years, I got my black belt. And my teacher was like, Brent, what's going on, right? You know, is there something going on with your family? Or because you're just, you know, checked out. I've never seen that before. And I remember he said, you know, his name was Steve. I'm like, Steve, you know, it's the weirdest thing. For a long time, I felt I was learning more and more. But once I got my black belt, I realized how little I knew. Oh. And he let out a big hearty laugh and slapped me on the back. And he's like, yes, Brent, that's why I knew you were ready for your black belt. And so here's the moral of the story. Being a black belt doesn't mean you know everything. It means you know enough to realize how little you know. That's that humility. And it has been reinforced with me every day of my life. Every time you think you have it all figured out, you know how your life's supposed to go, boom, life comes and broadsides you. And ultimately, it's pretty simple. If we all live from the ego, we create a giant mess. We all think we know what's best for us in our lives, every single one of us, which is usually I want to lose some weight, make more money, have more free time, right? But if we actually got to create our lives entirely from the ego, it would be a disaster. So I'll encourage everyone, hey, if you're in a difficult, dark place, first of all, don't think it's impossible. That, I learned this from doctors. When a doctor says this is impossible, what they actually mean is, I don't know how to do that. And that's a very big difference, right? And secondly, I don't know who said this first, but it's such a wonderful quote. Life happens for you, not to you. So all the setbacks and pain and loss you've been through are ultimately for our benefit. But if we insist that it's this bad thing, there's nothing good about it, and we just want to change it, then we get stuck. Then we get depressed, full of anxiety. Then you're in a bad place. So just know there's always more you can do. And whatever you think is impossible, there's a good chance someone already out there has already figured out how to do it. Now, within reason, right? I don't know how to jump really high and hold my breath and land on Mars.
Yet.
Right. I'd say, given our current technology, that seems impossible, doesn't it?
Wow.
But for more practical things, for example, being healthier, having less pain, being happier, making more money, these are all absolutely achievable. But the question is, are you willing to make that a priority? Are you willing to put transformation and a better life as more important than being right about what you think you know? And that is huge. I think I call my system Awakening Dynamics because it's based on the study of awakening, which is the very simple question of what are you? This you that sits in your head and has thoughts and makes decisions and has experiences, what exactly is that? And it's so crazy. I didn't experience my own awakening until I was, 41 years old. I'd been a full-time healer for 10 years at that point. So it's not like I was new to this stuff. But most of us assume we know what we are. And that's just an example. We gotta be willing to step back and go, maybe I'm wrong.
That's a question there. What would you characterize as an awakening then? Because you've already sort of transitioned from a strict science path into a healing path, which is a bit more woo in some ways.
Yeah, I use that word with a very specific meaning.
Yeah.
It comes from the study of Advaita Vedanta, that essentially, if you think you're a being, some kind of noun or discrete being, that is the illusion we all get caught up in. And awakening is coming to the realization that you are not that. And so, awakening is far too big a subject to go deep into right here, but I'm happy to give a little bit. That most of us think we're some kind of being. Maybe you think you're a man or a woman. Or you think you're a soul that created a human lifetime. Or you think you're a reincarnating spirit having a human experience. What you notice is those are all discrete beings, aren't they? A man, a woman, a mind, a personality, a family history, even a soul or a spirit. They're all beings, aren't they? And yet, all of our greatest spiritual teachers, in every tradition, across the entire planet, through all of history, they have all taught us different versions of the same message. That we are all one. That we are all connected. And so, just as one example, I'm going to challenge people a little bit here. If you think you are a soul, well, I got a soul, and you got a soul, and that guy over there has a soul. They are somehow discrete and separate, aren't they? So that cannot be the truth of you. How can we be one when they're separate things? Same thing with the body. I got a body, you got a body, right? That guy over there has a body. If that is actually you, then we cannot all be one. And awakening is that realization. It's this huge epiphany that everything you thought you knew about yourself and life and how it all works, I wouldn't say it's wrong, but incomplete. Somewhere between incomplete and ass backwards wrong. Somewhere in the middle there, right? And it's so liberating that when I experienced my awakening, again, I had worked on studying this stuff for years. Learning energy healing was tough, but I could do it. It fit in my paradigm. Learning intuition, same thing. It was tough, but I could do it. It was just a lot more work than I expected. But awakening is a total shift of the paradigm. It would be like if you asked me a question, what I would say for sometimes I understand the question, but you cannot find the answer within your current paradigm. And that's what awakening is. A realizing that the way you used to think was sort of a box, and you're looking for the answer in the box, but there is no answer in the box. It's outside the box. And that's why it takes time. But awakening, I had been studying it for many years, starting with the great masters, Nisargadatta and Ramana Maharshi and so on and so forth, Yogananda. And I didn't quite get it until finally, with my late mentor, Carl, he had told me a lot of things. I didn't quite get it. And it was driving home one night from a psychology class, believe it or not. I stopped at a stop sign and it hit me like a bolt of lightning. And I realized, and I go, crap, I get it. I'm not Brent. And that is the essence of it. But again, this is not a brand new teaching. It was written in the Vedic scriptures, which were written, what, 5,000 years ago? It's in the Old Testament. It's in the New Testament. It's in the Quran. It's in the Bhagavad Gita. It's in the writings of the Buddha. That's why I say, this is not a new thing. What is new, what I've done is, I've taken that ancient wisdom and tried to make it very easily accessible to the modern audience. That reading something written in another language 5,000 years ago, that's a tough path, right? Imagine trying to learn calculus from ancient texts written 5,000 years ago. Good luck. And if I have a superpower, it would be I can take these very difficult, arcane, complex topics and make them very easy for normal people to understand. I use a lot of the Hawkins scale, the David Hawkins scale of consciousness, power versus force. And he had experienced his own awakening. And on his scale, human consciousness goes from 0 to 1,000. 500 is the biggest breakpoint. That is what awakening is. And it's so interesting because Hawkins readily admitted when he was alive. I went to some of his seminars. I heard him say this. He would say, I know what it is, but I don't know how to let people understand it. He didn't know how to teach it. That's what I figured out. I figured out how to teach it. That's why I say I did not invent any of this stuff. I didn't invent Advaita Vedanta or meditation or intuition or energy healing. Of course not. That's been around, predated me by many thousands of years. What I've done is found a way to present it that a normal person in the modern age can access and understand in a way that's useful to them. That's what engineers do. A lot of people don't understand the difference between scientists and engineers. There's a big difference. Scientists uncover how the universe works. Engineers take what scientists have figured out to put it into practical applications. So Newton, the theory of gravity, great scientist. He figured out how gravity worked for the most part, right? Doesn't mean he could build a skyscraper or an airplane. That took engineers. And so that's kind of my role. I take this ancient wisdom that's been around forever. And my role is to package it and present it in a way that regular people can apply and use that creates real results for them. And again, it's just technology. They had car phones back in the 80s, but they were clunky and expensive and didn't work very well. So it's not like no one could imagine a car phone, but it took decades of engineering. Now we all carry it around in our pocket. If you got a smartphone, which almost all of us do, you have more computing power in your pocket than was present through all of human history up to like the year 2000. It's crazy, right? Again, it's just technology. And you take your smartphone through a time machine, even you go to back 100 years, they think it was a miracle, huh? It can record video and sound. It can calculate advanced math in an instant. Even without a network, they go, oh my God, it's an alien artifact. It's magic. It's the devil. Yeah. No, it's just technology. It's just understanding electric and magnetic fields is all. And that's what I want to emphasize. Consciousness is the same. Can you use your consciousness to heal your body, to improve your career, to improve your mood? Absolutely. But you got to know what you're doing. Otherwise, you're like a caveman taking rocks and sticks and trying to build a cell phone. Good luck. Not your fault. Newton was the same way. He spent half his life chasing the Bible code. A lot of people don't realize that. He believed there was a code in the Bible. And there is, but it took modern computers to be able to find it. Newton could have worked at it for 1,000 years. He never would have found it. Why? He didn't have the tools. And so for everyone listening, that am I the right person for you? Maybe not. I'm certainly not for everyone. I'm intense. I work quickly. I have no tolerance for nonsense. I want to find the core of your issue, find what's really important, apply the remedy, the shift, and see a change. Very much evidence-based, results-based. So if you want someone that's going to give you a nice new agey experience and give you a big hug and tell you it's okay, you know, I can do that, but I wouldn't pay me what I charge for a hug. You can get that from other people for much cheaper, right? No, thank you. But if you're serious about getting through your stuff, about understanding what's really going on in your life, and you're willing to make the sacrifices, because it all takes sacrifice. If you want to learn to play guitar, it takes sacrifice, doesn't it? If you want to have a good marriage, it takes sacrifice. We only have so much time, energy, money, etc. And if you're at the place where you're willing to make this a priority, I know you can move. What I tell my clients and students, it's not a matter of if you can achieve your goal. It's a question of whether you give up before you do. And when I was dating between my marriages, I had spent 3 years with healers and dating coaches trying to find love. I had over 200 dates with over 100 women, nothing. And I was just about to give up. But that one last date, boom, there it was. And that's the thing. You never know when your miracle is on the horizon, right? If we look at history, Washington at Valley Forge, it looked like it was over. They were going to lose. They didn't know they were going to win the war. Of course not, right? Many deserted the army. But Washington, for whatever reason, didn't lose his faith. And he believed they could do it. And they did, and it changed history. So all of our issues are the same. Whether it's health, money, relationship, you can make a shift. The question is, are you willing to do the work and make the sacrifices? And are you going to power through to the end? You know, when I learned to play guitar, it was hard. Your fingers hurt. It takes a lot of time. It's a lot of frustration. And if you're not willing to go through that, you're not going to be good at guitar. If you want to learn a foreign language, it's the same, isn't it? It's hard to start learning a foreign language. And it takes a lot of time and a lot of effort and guidance. And you're going to make a lot of mistakes and feel stupid along the way. If you're willing to persevere and do what has to be done, you can master almost any language. That's why I say it's not a matter of whether you can get to your goal. It's a question of, are you committed enough that you're going to actually get there? Because again, you might do 9 sessions with me and not see a lot of result. Session 10, the big miracle shows up. That happens sometimes. What about the people that quit after 9? They have no idea. So, you know, I would say, again, I'm not the right person for everyone. Of course not. But I would say, if you're serious about changing your life, stop window shopping. Find a teacher or a system that feels right to you and give them what you got for at least a couple years. Focus on someone, right? Learn everything they have to teach you. Depending on the person, that'll take 6 months, a year, maybe 3 years. And when you know you've wrung all the value out of it, then it's time to move on. You know, both what I call my master teachers, first Terry O'Connell, later Carl Rolf, they both kicked me out. Both times after about 3 years with Terry, after 5 with Carl. And they said a similar thing. Brent, you keep showing up, doing sessions, showing up for practice group, wanting me to tell you all the answers. I've taught you everything you need to know. Go. And I'm like, because I love being a student, right? That's my sweet spot. I love learning. And then they both kicked me out. They're like, don't come back. So there does come a point when it's time to move on. But the vast majority of people try, they read this book, they take the seminar, and it's okay to look around, but they never go deep. It'd be like you want to get married, but you never see anyone for more than 2 dates. Yeah, it's tough to find that marriage fit after 2 dates, isn't it? It happens. I've heard about it, right? But most people have to date a lot of people a lot of times over a number of years before they find that fit. In martial arts, one of the great things I learned was don't pick the style, pick the teacher. And that's so critical. And I remember I used to, when I studied Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, I'd sometimes answer the phone at the dojo. There's 2 questions everyone asked, almost all young men. One is, how long does it take me to kick ass? The other was, how long until I get a black belt? And I try to tell them, that's not the point. The point is to find the teacher, the system, the students that works for you, that brings value to your life, that you enjoy, you look forward to going to class, right? Then it doesn't matter how long it takes to kick butt, does it? And by the way, the answer in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, about 2 years, in case you're wondering. you do 2 years of Jiu-Jitsu, you'll kick butt on almost anyone that is untrained. But just so you know, healing, law of attraction, intuition, astrology is the same. Find the person you resonate with. Work with them, learn everything they have to teach. And you'll know when it's time to move on. Now, in my case, I had to be kicked out more than once. Because I was just like, keep teach me, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, again, for anyone that wants to look me up, my website is at awakeningdynamics.com. And, you know, I am at a very different point in my career now than the past. I've been doing this full time for 22 years now. I've done over 15,000 private sessions. I've taught over 200 weekend seminars. And I used to be all about, oh yeah, big classes, make money, you know, big email list. I'm over that. What I want is a small number of the right people who really want to go deep and use this work in a big way. And I am a little selective. What I want to offer to everyone listening, including you, CJ, and your friends, anybody that is curious, obviously go to my website, awakeningdynamics.com. There's a link to my YouTube channel. It's like 150 videos there. Learn to your heart's content, all free. I've got a link to my 30 Days to Awakening program. So if you think this is good for you, there's a link there to book a free 15-minute call with me. And the purpose of that is I want to get to know you a little bit as a person. I don't let people just sign up for things anymore. And 15, 20 minutes, I'll have a sense of that. I know how to read energy. That's one of the skills I learned from my late mentor, Carl. And if you are a good fit for me, we'll schedule another call, and I'll tell you what I think is going to be the best approach to solve your problem. Yeah. If you're not, And it's about 50-50. About half the people I have a call with, I say it's a good fit. The other half, I say it's not. I will recommend someone that I think is a better fit. Because, you know, I'm not about competition. I think it's nonsense. I think we're all one sharing a big spaceship hurtling through the galaxy. And we're all on the same team. And my goal is for every person I talk to get you with the right person that's going to move you forward. And I'll say, hey, if you're highly intelligent, overeducated, too much in your head, kind of a nerd, I'm probably your guy. Those are the people I do best with. Why? That's me. As you probably know, if you look at the healing world, it's 80, 85, 90% female. At the lower levels of my work, I'm about 60-40, 60% women, 40% men. In my highest level group, it's 75% men. Why? Men tend to be more likely to have the more rational step-by-step approach. That's why I say, if you're a nerd, if you think too much, especially if you feel that you're very intelligent and capable and have a lot of skill and value to create, but life has frustrated you, that you're making a living but not a killing, that maybe you have your job or your side gig and it's okay, but it's not great. That's my specialty. Why? That was me. Right? Too much learning, too much knowledge, too much in the mind. And you know, there are a few things I can do that no one else in the world can. I can help people achieve that awakening. There may be others that know how to do it. I just don't know who they are. I can turn on almost everyone's ability to see energy and auras in past lives with their open eyes. And I can teach almost anyone to be an incredible healer in 6 months or less, better than 90% of the pros. But I'm not perfect. I'm terrible in social situations. I am an absolute unmitigated effing disaster at social media. I cannot create a good soundbite to save my life. You know,
you've created so many today already. So.
You know, I struggle with that. I've done a lot of TV morning shows in the past. I spent a lot of money, flew all over the country doing all these different morning shows, right? I went to Albuquerque and I went to Jacksonville, Florida, and I went to Tucson, like all over, right? I never got a single call from any of the TV I did. Why? When you're on a TV morning show, unless you're a celebrity already, they give you two minutes, maybe three. So I really struggle in that. I'm a long form guy. I love doing shows like this where I got 30, 40, 50 minutes to talk. That's why my social media has never taken off. I think I made some amazing YouTube videos and people are like, Brent, unless you're already a star, no one's going to watch your 27 minute video. But I'm like, I can't explain this in 5 minutes. Like, nobody cares. No one's going to watch your video unless they already like you. But I'm like, how are they going to like me if they don't watch my video? That's my problem, right? So I absolutely have a lot of shortcomings. I have no idea what normal people like. That confuses me to no end. Like an example here in Nevada, where I live now in Las Vegas, everyone sits in the drive-thru line at McDonald's or In-N-Out for like an hour to get dinner. I'm like, park your car, walk in. You'll have your food in 5 minutes. I don't get it. Why does everyone insist on using the drive-thru? It makes no sense to Brent. You know, I'm that weird person. I go to In-N-Out, I park my car, I get out, I walk in up to the counter, I order my burger, and I'm out in 5 minutes. So there's a lot of things like that. I don't understand normal people at all, right? But that's my autism. So that's why I say, hey, if you're a high-functioning autistic and you're a nerd, I'm your man, right? That's me. I get it. I can tell you in advance all the problems you're going to have learning this stuff. And have all the solutions ready. If you're a very present, sort of the go-with-the-flow kind of person, that you just need a few whacks with a healing stick, yeah, I'll work with you a little bit. It's like when I don't mean this in a derogatory sense at all, when I work with young children, like 3 or 4 years old, or dogs or cats. I don't need to get into a deep intellectual analysis of awakening in the soul and God, right? I just whack them with a healing stick a couple of times, and then everything gets better. So that's why I say, you know, I can do that. But what I really want is to find the people that need to understand this. That is my forte. I took it apart, figured out how it worked. My late mentor, Carl Wolf, phenomenal person, would love to talk about him more if we want to do this again in the future. Last several years of his life, when people would ask him, Carl, can you please explain this? He'd laugh and write down my phone number. Because he was by far the most powerful human I've ever worked with. He had his x-ray vision turn on. He could see your skeleton with his open eyes. I mean, guy was just next level, right? And it'd be like, Carl, how does it work? I don't know. Ask Brent. And, you know, I admit, I don't have the same abilities that Carl had. I got some of them. But I do understand how this works. And I had to explain to Carl what he was doing and how it worked. We were a great team, you know? And it was really sad. He passed away in 2018. But, you know, and I'm the only person that he ever gave permission to carry on his work, which is crazy. Because he also told me when I first met him in 2008, he told me years later, Brent, when I met you, you were stuck deeper in your head than anyone I'd ever met in my life. And when I met him, he was 66 years old and had been doing energy work full time since the early 70s. So he'd worked with a lot of people. So I just want to give people a sense of, hey, this is what I'm about. And if you like it, check out my website, awakeningdynamics.com. Watch some of my videos. Let's have a call. And there's a huge upside if we're a good fit. If not, no worries. I don't want to take your time or your money if I'm not going to help. And I know lots of people that wear crystals and robes and give big hugs. So, you know, everybody wins.
So, Brent, how do you actually balance your scientific principles or your engineering background with your spiritual aspects of energy healing? I mean, how do you actually put that all together in your life now?
What I find is this. This is kind of funny. One of my YouTube series is the most important spiritual lessons I learned at MIT. And one of them is simple. That the whole brain gets stronger when you balance it. So when I was an undergrad, almost every day, I took time to play guitar and I took time to exercise. Everybody thought I was nuts. Why? It helped to balance me out. I was doing all this left brain, right? Lectures, problem sets, tests, lab study. I found that if I played guitar for 30 minutes and exercise for an hour, I got more done than people that didn't. And so do I still read books and learn and have an intellectual knowledge? Of course. But I also practice intuition and movement and energy healing. And I find that I don't have to make an effort at balancing it because when I do both, they both get stronger. That's kind of the secret. As you hit your balance point, it will lift up everything. I found this. I did hot yoga at the Bikram headquarters for years and years before I realized what a jerk he was. Now he's a fugitive, but that's a whole other story, maybe another interview. And it was crazy that there were times I'd be on a business trip and away for 10 days, teaching seminars or doing a media tour or something. Almost every time I'd come back and my yoga would be better. Why? I pushed myself too hard. I needed rest to balance, to recover, to heal. And that's the trick of the body and the mind. Yes. You got to push it, but also give it enough time to recover. You got to use your left brain and your right brain. They're both important. So I would say if you're an engineer, a doctor, a lawyer, an architect, spend some time playing an instrument or meditating or even doing something fun like bowling. That's more body-centric. If you're already a body-centric person, maybe you need to develop that intellectual side to read more books or solve Sudoku puzzles or learn calculus or something. It sounds crazy, but when you work the part of you that's weak, the part of you that is strong gets strong. And there's no perfect formula for that. That's part of what I do in one-on-ones. I watch people move and read their energy. And I can tell you where you're weak and where you're strong. And then we move forward to address it, you know? And again, the beautiful thing is when you work on your weakness, your strength gets stronger. So if you're really strong but not flexible, you need to work on your flexibility. It will make you stronger. And vice versa.
Can you talk about one of your most challenging cases you've handled as a healer and what insights it provided?
Sure. I mean, other than me?
Other than you, yes.
Yeah. I would say one of my most difficult cases, it was one of my students years ago. She was probably the only person that had a harder time than intuition with me. And it was a valuable thing. And I'm so grateful to her that she didn't give up. She took classes with me. She studied. She practiced. It was 5, maybe 7 years. And she never gave up. And it was so valuable for me because I had really struggled to learn intuition. Why? It's kind of the opposite of the book learning I mastered at MIT. To be in your body, to feel, to trust what you're seeing without needing to make sure or figure it out. And the reason it was so valuable for me is it forced me to go even further to understand the challenges than I would have before. There's a saying in the world of academics that C students make the best teachers. Have you heard that one? And that's what it was. And to say I was a C student at intuition, that's giving really easy grading. Right? Massive grade inflation. I'm the guy that failed the course 6 times and then squeaked 3 with a D minus. But her name was Betty. And Betty was even a tougher case than me. And because it was so hard for her, it forced me to step back and learn and understand what I was doing at an even deeper level. And I mean, there's a million things I could give about intuition tips. It doesn't make a lot of sense out of context. So I'm going to avoid that for now. But anyone that doesn't shift from what you're doing is an incredible opportunity to get better at what you're doing. Because again, remember, life happens for us, not to us. Many teachers would have taken her and gone, you're just a tough case. I don't care about you. Goodbye. Let me go find someone else to take money from. I saw it as, okay, here's a great opportunity to get better at what I'm doing. That every business person and athlete and performer will tell you, you learn a lot more from failure than from success. Because when you fail, it's showing you there's something missing. If you succeed, it just affirms that what you're doing is working. And that's great, but you don't get better, do you? My father in the 70s was a big tennis player during the tennis craze. One thing he told me was it was hard to find people to play with because in tennis, he said, you only get better by losing to people that are better than you. Stomping on someone that's less skilled does not make you better. So at the racket club, he goes, yeah, it can be difficult. No one wants to play anyone that's not as good as them because everyone wants to get better. So I would say, again, life happens for us, not to us. And instead of just trying to ignore or get away from the problem, I would celebrate it and say, thank you, universe, for giving me this case that shows me I don't know as much as I think. If I was as good as I thought I was, she would have learned it faster. And she did eventually get it. Only person that took longer than me. And by going through that experience, I got much better as a teacher. And I could talk about similar things with clients, but it's the same game.
Yeah, sure.
The obstacle, the setback, bless it, thank it, celebrate it. Here's your chance to get better.
What advice would you give someone curious about energy healing but skeptical due to their logical or scientific mindset?
Yeah, I would say find someone like me to work with is one. I'd also say be careful about what you think you know. We're all living in prisons constructed out of what we think we know. So, for example, with dating, I remember I had a terrible problem learning to approach women. And my dating coach would ask me, Brent, why didn't you talk to her? I'd be like, well, you know, Brian, I didn't think of why she'd want to talk to me. And so in other words, I defeated myself before the game even began. What I learned was, if you like someone, just go talk to them. And if they like you back, great. If not, they'll let you know and you move on. No harm done. And the point is, so many of us defeat ourselves before we even start the game. Be willing to show up and fail or look stupid as many times as you have to. So if you want to find love, you might have to go on a lot of bad first dates. Oh gosh, I could tell stories. Things you wouldn't even believe were real. It's like, yeah, that really happened. Same thing with a company. Have you ever heard the saying that the average millionaire goes bankrupt 3.5 times? It's simple. If you're willing to fail big, you can win big. Most people are afraid to fail. Certainly to fail big. So we get locked into the small comfort zone and our lives stagnate. And great. Yeah, go ahead.
What's next for you in terms of personal growth or professional development within your field?
For me, the biggest shift is I'm moving away from kind of a mass market model, which I did for a long time, trying to teach everyone energy healing. Now, I just want to find a small group of people, maybe 5 to 10, that are very much like me, and that you're smart, you know a lot, you have talent and skill, but life just hasn't clicked for you. My biggest thing is I want to train the trainers. It's like a good example would be when Einstein left the patent office, before he worked at the patent office, his first job was being a tutor to the children of nobility in physics and math. And he was terrible at it. Why? He was so far beyond where they were at, right? And so what I found is I work better on the advanced levels. That's why I want to find a smaller group of people that want to go really deep. I especially want to work with people that want to be trainers, speakers, teachers. That, I think, is where I'm best. Whereas before it was I wanted to run a lot of people through my classes and show them how to create miracles. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I'd rather have 5 people that want to go really deep and carry it to the world than 100 that are going to just do this for 2 weeks and forget about it and on to the next thing. So that would be the biggest shift. And in terms of me, what I do day to day is a lot of the movement and beaming meditations I learned from my late mentor, Carl. And that's the only thing I've found that can get people out of their head into their body. It's the only thing. And I've tried so many things. Oh my gosh. Conventional healing and meditation won't do it. Or if it does, it'll take 50 years. So that's why my thing is I didn't invent this. I made it better, faster, easier. So my journey is mainly about embodiment. And like I've said several times, realizing that every setback and challenge in life is a blessing. It happens for us, not to us. And when something stops working, it means you got to be doing something else. And it's nothing personal. Just the way the universe works. Just like gravity, it's nothing personal. You know, you jump off a roof, you're going to fall. And figured out exactly how fast and how hard you hit at the bottom. So it's nothing to do with you. It's just the way the universe works. But as humans, we tend to take everything so personally and give it so much meaning, right? Maybe you started 3 companies and they all failed. That's okay. Doesn't mean you're a failure. Just means your first 3 efforts weren't right. You know, again, I went on over 200 dates with over 100 women over 3 years, and I was about ready to give up. And then, you know, I met the woman that became my second wife, and we have a family, and you know, again, it's not perfect. I wish it was. It's not a fairy tale, but that's real life. So, you know, for everyone listening, hey, if you're skeptical, good. Be skeptical. There's a lot of idiots and con artists out there that will blow smoke up your butt and take your money. I don't want you to get taken by them. So absolutely be skeptical. And that's why I tell anyone that will listen, I don't want you to believe anything I'm saying just because I said it. I want you to take it as a possibility and have your own experience and decide for yourself. So if you hear me going, Brent, I don't believe you can heal a cat allergy in 10 minutes. Okay, open your mind. Give it a shot, right? Do a private with me. You don't want to spend the money on that? Buy my encoded allergy clearing meditation. If you don't like it, you get 100% refund. No worries, right? Give it a shot. See what happens.
Exactly.
You decide for yourself based on your experience. Don't take anyone's word for it. Because again, there's a lot of liars and con artists in this industry. And I've been taken by them more than once.
Yeah.
My goal is to help people get to who will help them with a minimum of loss up to that. And I've had so many of my clients come to me, oh, Brent, I just spent 10 grand on this and 5 grand on that and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, that sucks, but, you know, I didn't do that. That's what they call in economics a sunk cost. Are you willing to get past that? Because the next thing you do might work? Or are you going to jump to the conclusion it's all crap? No, I can understand both. That's why I say, if you stick with it, you will find where you want to be at. Or you end up somewhere different and it's even better. I wanted to make millions making video games. And that would have been great. But honestly, I think I would have been a giant ass. And I probably would have been miserable. In my big mansion with my trophy wife and, you know, my 3 kids and all addicted to drugs and rehab, making, you know, $1 million a year and being miserable all the time. So
well, it's a blessing that you went this path. In that case.
You know, sometimes I question it, but again, that's life.
Yeah.
And I'm honest to say my life is not perfect. I got challenges and issues, right? Mm. All my master teachers did. You know, even Carl, the most powerful human I've ever worked with. Crap happened in his life.
Of course. Right?
He had a pipe break in his condo. Mm. You know, someone had wrecked his car when it was in a parking lot. He got shingles. He took a experimental supplement, ended up in the hospital on life support. It almost killed him. All sorts of things that happened to him, right?
Yeah.
But he got through it all right up until he didn't. I think it's great. He got hit by a truck. He was 77 years old on a 30-mile bike. And a truck, I don't know if the guy had fell asleep at the wheel or lost control, just squished him. And he had spent the last session I co-taught with him before that, 3 days before, preparing us for when we have big losses and death and grief in our lives. So I don't know for certain that he saw it coming, but you know, I know he lived a really rich and full life right up until those last few seconds. And same thing with my other master teacher, Terry. She was having lunch with a friend and she had a massive stroke. The doctor said she was probably dead before she hit the ground. And so that's what I love. They really live their lives.
Yeah.
Life were there problems? Of course there were.
Yeah.
Setbacks, okay. Loss, of course there were. But they were able to see it was all in service of a higher. And that's, you know, part of the message I want to put out there. It's okay if you've been through loss and grief and pain. It's all in the service of something greater. Why? There's only one of us here.
We've come towards the end of the podcast here, and that happened so suddenly, and you had a lot to say, and it was really good.
Thank you.
I appreciate the way you shared it as well, because you actually have a very clear understanding of expressing your methods and the way you've transformed, and I really appreciate everything that you've shared.
So how can people find you? My superpower is not being born as a healer. My superpower is telling people how it works.
Nice.
So for anyone that's curious, again, just check me out at awakeningdynamics.com. A lot of good free resources to learn more, YouTube channel, etc. And for everyone watching, this will not be up forever. But for at least the next few weeks, just go to my website. There's a big button if you think you're a good fit. And you're willing to spend time and money to achieve your goal. That's important, right? If you want to learn guitar, you're not willing to spend time and money. Forget about it. Just give up. I'd be happy to talk to you for free and give you guidance. That's simple.
All right. Thank you so much, Brent. That was really cool.
Oh, it's been awesome to be here. This is great.
All right. All right, I'll just say goodbye to the listeners. That was a very interesting, I could say conversation, but I didn't get many words in because Brent had so much information to share and it was all so good that I didn't want to stop him. So he explained such detail around his understanding of energy and consciousness and how basically doing shadow work in method of understanding of energy and how it moves in the body changes you permanently. And how that story affected his whole life and is now something he uses to help others and is teaching others to actually help others using this same technique. So if that's something that interests you, jump onto his website. It'll be in the show notes down below. And if you've liked today, like and subscribe. It's free. And yeah, If you're on a podcast app, give me 5 stars. That'd be really nice too. And thank you so much for listening. Until next episode, it's bye for now.